Do you remember the classic cult movie, The Big Blue?
You go down to the bottom of the sea, where the water isn't even blue anymore. The sky's only a memory. And you float there, in the silence.
Free diving is what's being described there, and it involves holding your breath underwater for long periods of time, diving without oxygen tanks. Michael Adams has spent the last few years learning how to free dive. He's written about it in an essay called Salt Blood. It's won the Australian Book Review Calibre Prize. And in it, he describes free diving as something that for him is both transformative and transgressive. Michael Adams is also Associate Professor of Human Geography at the University of Wollongong and joins us from Wollongong. Michael, hello, welcome.
Hi, Amanda, thanks.
Now, how did you become interested in free diving, Michael, or breath hold diving, as you also refer to it as?
I guess there's been a few paths. A lot of my work has been with Indigenous people in Australia, but in other places as well. And coastal Indigenous cultures all around the world have breath hold dived since, you know, humans began, essentially. So I was introduced in that way. I've been a kind of a casual spearfisher, just harvesting for food in the oceans near my home. But then a couple of years back, I was invited to Bali for a random event, and my son and I were looking around for things to do and discovered this free dive school, and both of us then spent several days training, and it was just an extraordinary experience. My son was instantly extremely good at it. I was less good, but I found the whole thing fascinating.
Well, what is happening to your body physiologically with free diving?
So, like, at its most basic, free diving is just holding your breath and going underwater. But as the length of time increases and or the depth increases, some pretty profound changes start to happen. And it's been characterized as what they call the mammalian dive response.
Mm.
And almost immediately, your heartbeat starts to slow. Then blood moves from your extremities into your core, and that's partly to fill the space created by your lungs collapsing with pressure. Your lungs reduce to the size of your fists, effectively, as you start to go down, and you can't have an empty space in your body. So that space is filled with blood. And then eventually your spleen contracts and releases oxygen to compensate for the lack of oxygen that you're deriving from your lungs.
And what kind of ancillary physical preparation do you do to assist your free diving?
It's you know, one of those kind of paradoxical extreme sports, in quotes, where you're not trying to recruit your muscles, fill yourself with adrenaline, you know, kind of force your way through. You're doing the opposite of all of those things because you want to decrease your oxygen consumption. So many free divers practice yoga and meditation because lots of it is about your mind rather than your body. The yoga is that, as well as making your skeletal structure as flexible as possible, especially your rib cage, because to take the increasing pressure.
So then, can you describe for us what it's like to be under the water when you're free diving, as opposed to scuba diving, which I think you've also done?
Yeah, so like somebody described scuba diving as driving through a forest in a four-wheel drive with the air conditioning on and the windows up. And that was very much my experience. The paraphernalia, the kit, the gear that your body is wrapped in, and the sound of your breathing through the regulator, I find really intrusive. So I've never been a fan of scuba diving, even though it sort of, you know, frees you in all kinds of ways underwater. When you're free diving, there is none of that. You can free dive completely naked, like with effectively no equipment whatsoever. And there is sound, but it's muted through the thickness of water, just as light is as well. And it's a quite serene experience in all sorts of ways.
Now, Michael, free diving is dangerous, and there are people who, you know, are very serious critics of it and who may accuse you of romanticising and promoting an activity that is dangerous. Can you explain why you do it?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. There's a lot of safety framing around recreational free diving, but I completely agree, it is intrinsically dangerous. And that's been one of the things which is paradoxically fascinating, because that danger is not about adrenaline. You know, I ride motorbikes as well, and if you're going fast on a motorbike, that really kicks in adrenaline and there's a whole lot of excitement. And freediving doesn't do that at all. But it, in some ways, very gently brings you close to the idea of death. And we tend to avoid thinking about death in all sorts of ways.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as you say, those involved in free diving, most people involved in it as a sport emphasise, you know, the training and the very rigorous safety protocols that they have around it, and that this is not about dicing with death. But you are kind of more interested in free diving as a kind of liminal space between life and death. Now, can you talk about that a bit more?
Yeah, and that's exactly right. Like, I've asked quite a lot of freedivers whether they think about death, and in general they say no, and I partly don't believe that. but for me, it that's absolutely what I've been exploring. And, you know, our whole life is a journey between two breaths, the first breath we take when we were born and the last breath before death. And freediving encapsulates that in reverse, the last breath before you leave the surface and the first breath when you come back. So it takes you into this other place where, you know, if I'm 15 metres, which is not very deep, and I just let out all the air in my lungs, I'm probably not going to get back to the surface alive. So, and you know that. You know that the line between living and dying is actually very fine in that place, but you are in control of that.
Mm. Now, in your essay, you say that you learnt something about your father's death, and your father killed himself when you were 14. You learnt something about him and his death from freediving. Now, can you tease that out for us?
Sure. So, as you say, my father killed himself when I was 14, and at that time and place, you know, I was woken up in the middle of the night and told that, and then it was never spoken of again. I didn't discuss it with counsellors, you know, anything. So it kind of just got put away in my life in various ways. And diving, because it started making me think about death again, brought me back to thinking about his death and the decisions that he may have made to take that course, the thoughts, you know, the trajectory of his thinking. And I will actually never know. I hadn't seen him for a year. There was no note, no message. So I will actually never know. But it's given me a glimpse of what his, you know, what his thoughts might have been at that time. But it's also taken to me to some place where I think, well, I don't really need to ask the question. I will never have an answer.
Has it given you some kind of consolation?
In some ways, yes. In thinking about, you know, that he made a choice. He was in, you know, sort of social terms at that time, completely marginalised, and he decided he was not going to continue to have that, all that judgment and demand on his life, and stepped away from it.
Mm. Now, you also talk about free diving as a kind of act of grace, of physical grace and spiritual grace.
Yeah, and so I think about that. You trained as a ballet dancer.
I did, and a squillion years ago.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, ballet, it wonderfully encapsulates grace in that extraordinary sense that it's like hugely physically strenuous, but you make it appear effortless. That's the point, and that's what audiences love about it, to see the ability to present that sort of beauty and lightness and effortlessness using incredible strength and balance and control in the process. And I think humans intrinsically respond to grace, because grace is about your body being in terrific shape and you being able to align yourself with the environment in this incredibly beautiful way. And in freediving, that's what you're attempting to achieve, because that's what makes it work the best. You're using the least oxygen, you're dropping down through the water with the least resistance, your body is balanced in all kinds of ways. And so that physical grace is, you know, you're not trying to look graceful, but doing that is maximizes the perfection of your dive in all kinds of ways. And it links obviously to that notion of religious grace, that sort of sense that you're in this place where you can endure trial, you can move forward in different ways in the face of obstacles, that you are graced.
Mm. And what else have you learnt from free diving that you think has made a difference to you?
I think there are two fundamental things, and one of them is about humility, is about thinking of ourselves as individuals, as just, you know, tiny specks of life amidst this huge, complex planetary array of life that's all around us, and we're not actually that important. You know, when you're in deep blue water, you're a tiny speck there on the planet, and it's good to be reminded that we're not that important, that, you know, we all have these sort of quite transitory lives, and we should, in those lives, you know, try and contribute in the best way that we can across a wide spectrum of ways. But the other thing is about being reminded that all life actually comes out of the ocean, that however many, as you said, squillion years ago, the first life emerged in the ocean and then came out of the ocean onto land. And when we're in the womb, that 9 months in the amniotic sac, we actually have gills for part of that. Our development as an infant replicates our evolutionary development. So going back underwater into the embrace of the ocean is a journey back into our evolutionary past.
Yes, it sort of connects you to the evolutionary process, the big cycles of life.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm. Mm. Michael Adams is the winner of the Calibre Essay Prize for his piece about free diving and mortality. It's called Salt Blood, and it's in the latest edition of the Australian Book Review. Michael is also Associate Professor of Human Geography at the University of Wollongong. Michael, congratulations on the Essay Prize, and thanks so much for being with us here in Life Matters.
Thanks very much, Amanda. Lovely to talk to you.
And I just want to acknowledge again that free diving can be dangerous. It's not something you do without training, and it's not something you do without knowing what you're doing.